Well, may the Lord bless us at the end of this year. Those in the congregation here, I speak as pastor to you. May the Lord bless you. And may the Lord go before us into this new year. May we step out by faith as we consider this morning as a people here in this place, trusting in the Lord. We have much to be thankful for. We can raise our Ebenezer. Hitherto, whatever the future holds, the Lord will help us. And all friends here tonight, may you know also the blessing of God. It's good to end the year, isn't it, by considering the Lord and being thankful. And may we end this year with a thankful heart. May we be thankful for so much, most of all for the Lord Jesus Christ. So many now have forgotten the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us tonight be thankful for the unspeakable gift. And as we enter the new year, let us be thankful again. Let us begin this new year. Let us on January the 1st be thankful for the unspeakable gift, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Well, as I was thinking of the last sermon of this year, I was led to these words in a reading, Psalm 27 and verse 9. Psalm 27 and verse 9. I'd like us for a few moments to look at these words tonight. Psalm 27 and verse 9. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Dear congregation, the apostle in Hebrews 13 verse 5 wrote this, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. As we think of those words, dear brothers and sisters, let us live with much contentment, taking comfort that the Lord will never leave us, nor forsake us. We can be content when we consider the Lord, that he will be with us and he will provide all our needs. As we face the new year, let us be content. Let us submit to him. If we're to be content, we need to submit to him. And let us trust him. Let us trust him who has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. Rest in his enduring favour towards his people. Well, let me ask you, as you're looking forward tonight, as you look to a new year if the Lord spares, are you trusting in the Lord? As we come to this psalm, it appears that David was facing some difficulty from the hands of his enemies. And though we're not given the occasion of this psalm, this seems apparent. He's in some difficulty. Just notice verse 6. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies, round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. There are those who oppose him, but he looks up and he has a purpose in his heart that he is going to praise the Lord. Then the opening part of the psalm, David sets forth his confidence he had in the Lord. Just notice verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. He knows there is difficulties surrounding him. He knows there is trouble in the future. But he sets forth his confidence he has in the Lord. That's verses 1 to 3. Secondly, in the psalm, we are presented with his desire and love for the house of God and communion with God. Verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. He longs to be there with the people of God. We do not have such a special building as the temple today, but is not our longing to be in the gatherings of the saints, where Christ is in a special way, as he has promised, to admire the beauty of the Lord? Oh, just think of the beauty of the Lord. How beautiful is the Lord. He is clothed in excellency. Consider his being. Consider what he is like, his attributes. Consider Christ. He's altogether lovely. Do we not desire to admire the beauty of the Lord, like with the psalmist? Well, we have then his desire and love for the house of God and communion with God. He wants to be there and know God's presence in a special way and commune with him. Is that not the desire of our hearts? We want to be near the Lord. He's promised not to leave us. Oh, to so know him. Oh, to so talk with him. Then the third part of the psalm is taken up with his earnest prayer for God's favour, presence, help and deliverance. Verses 7 through to verse 12, and we're going to particularly consider that tonight. And then fourthly and finally, the final part of the psalm is his own testimony to encourage others to wait upon the Lord. Just come with me to verse 13. I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen mine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He speaks of his own testimony. He was about to faint, but he believed. Though his faith may have been small to others as they looked on, he was believing. He believed to see the goodness of the Lord. You may feel like you're fainting, but you look up to the Lord and believe that you'll see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And let your testimony, as you wait upon the Lord and you believe to see the goodness of him, be an example to others. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage. That's what the psalmist is doing. Oh, dear congregation, let us lead by example. We want our brothers and sisters to wait on the Lord. Will you first of all focus on the Lord? Believe that you'll see his goodness. Wait on him. Let your testimony be an encouragement to other brothers and sisters in Christ. Oh, how important that is. Well, tonight we come to the third part of the psalm, which is his earnest prayer for God's favour, presence, help, and deliverance. And with that in mind, we come to verse 9. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Well, for the remainder of the time, I'd like us to consider, first of all, God's favour greatly desired. Secondly, God's help seriously considered. You notice this as he reasons with the Lord, as he pleads that the Lord would go with him, he considers God's help. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not then. Continue to help me. So secondly, God's help seriously considered. And thirdly, God's presence highly valued. God's favour greatly desired. God's help seriously considered. God's presence highly favoured. At the end of this year, do not we desire God's favour? Let's stop and consider his help. And do not we highly value, as we look to the new year, his presence. First of all then, God's favour greatly desired. Just notice here the words of the psalmist. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. You see, the psalmist here, he desires the smile of God rather than the frown. And do not we? We desire, as we look to this new year, the smile of God rather than his frown. He desired the appearance of God's face in favour or mercy rather than the hiding of God's face in wrath or anger. Hide not thy face far from me. He wants the smiles. He wants to know the favour of God rather than the fatherly anger of God. Just come with me to verse 1 of Psalm 67. You'll see this here. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Oh, for the shining of the face of God. It speaks of mercy, doesn't it? And favour. God be merciful unto us, as the psalmist. Cause his face to shine. We think of the shining of God's face. We think of his mercy, as we do in Psalm 67. The Hebrew word is chanan. It's translated there as merciful. It means to show pity, to favour, to bend in kindness. Cause his face to shine. Show pity, show favour. You see, the psalmist here, he greatly desired God's favour, and so he prays, hide not thy face far from me. The psalmist desired the mercy of God. The psalmist desired the favour of God. And do not we, hide not thy face far from me. O Lord, I desire thy favour. You know, it's hard going when maybe a believer senses God's fatherly anger. And there's this feeling that there's the hiding of God's face to some measure. There's not a total hiding, of course not, because God's favour is towards us. But the believer may sense there's a hiding, like the psalmist. Turn with me to Psalm 13, verse 1. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? There's the sweet psalmist of Israel, one who knew the Lord, one who knew that God's favour was towards him. How long wilt thou hide thy face far from thy face from me? There'd been a hiding. And sometimes the believer may sense there's a little hiding. They know God's favours towards them, but there's a little hiding. As a child, I did not like it when my dad or mum got cross with me. Justly so. Sometimes they would come and they would tell me off, and then they would go into another room. But after a while, when I humbled myself and I went in to say sorry to them, I was aware of their favour and love. Yes, there was always love towards me. But sometimes I knew they were cross with me. And I didn't see their smile. But their smile returned. And sometimes the believer may not sense the smile of God. But all God's favour is still there. How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? Notice here the psalmist, hide not thy face far from me. He values God's favour and he so wants to know it at this present time and be assured of it in the future. Oh, for the heart to be warmed through the display of God's favour. Oh, smile upon me at the end of this year. Show thy face, Lord. Shine on us. Show me thy face of favour, some gracious display. Yes, we know the Lord is so gracious towards us, but oh, that he would manifest his grace to us, that we would be aware of the smile of God at the end of this year, that we would bask in his favour. Oh, for more grace. That's what we're praying for, isn't it? David here, he highly values the grace, the favour of God. And do not we, and so we pray, hide not thy face far from me. Put me not thy servant away in anger. Lord, don't turn. Show me more grace. Smile upon me. Forgive me my sins. Comfort my heart and support me in favour. You know, when we're aware of fatherly forgiveness, we're aware of the smile of our Father. When we're aware of that comfort in our hearts, we're aware of the smile of our Heavenly Father. When we feel that underneath are the everlasting arms, we sense it, we're aware of the smile of our Heavenly Father. Oh, that there would be that heartwarming and soul-lifting display of God's favour. You think when the sun comes out and you feel the warmth of the sun, it lifts you, does it not? Oh, that there would be that heartwarming, soul-lifting display of God's favour. Smile upon me. Shine on us, O Lord. Psalm 67, verse 1. What the psalmist here desires is more grace. And at the end of this year, do not we say, more grace, Lord. We're told of a certain preacher a few hundred years ago who preached a sermon in Parliament. You know, children here, a number of hundred years ago in Parliament, Westminster, preachers, evangelical preachers, were given the opportunity to preach in Westminster, in Parliament. Well, there was one occasion, and there was this preacher. He was preaching, and he knew the people did not understand there in Parliament what he was saying. So he suddenly stopped, and he looked up to heaven and said this, "More light, Lord. More light, Lord." And then he carried on preaching for over an hour before the men there in Parliament. More light. Our prayer tonight is more grace, Lord. We do not want the hiding of God's face. We desire the light of his countenance, the smile of his favour. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Well, here's the psalmist, and you so see it here. He values the favour of God. He wants more of it. Do you value God's favour tonight? And do you want more grace? Remember those words in the New Testament? He giveth more grace. Well, let's ask God for it tonight. More grace, Lord. Here in the words of the psalmist, hide not thy face, Lord. Show me more grace. Do you value the grace of God tonight? Remember what the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Oh, that's our testimony, isn't it? By the grace of God, I am what I am. There's the Apostle Paul. He values the grace of God. He looks back in the way in which he was saved and supported. He knows all that he is. I am what I am by the grace of God. It's all of grace, isn't it? When we look back, it's all of grace. We've nothing to boast of, have we? No work to present that would merit salvation, for there is none. It's all of grace. Remember what John Newton wrote, amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. Amazing grace. We value the grace of God. We're amazed at the grace of God. And so our prayer tonight at the end of the year is, hide not thy face far from me. We know that God's grace will continue ever to flow, but we want to know more of it. We want to be more aware of it. Value the grace of God. Are we not thankful for God's grace? How we need it. How we need to so know it in a special way again in the future. If you're not a Christian here tonight, oh, you would know God's grace in a special way. That you would so value it. And that you, like with the psalmist here, would so long to know more and more. Oh, flee to Christ. If you do, you will find such favour. Now, we who believe the Lord, God has favoured us, but we desire more. More of his supporting grace in the trials we face. And so our prayer is, Hide not thy face far from me. Lord, I so need thy grace, thy supporting grace. Psalm 94, verse 18. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, help me up. Thy mercy can be translated as mercy, pity, but also favour. Supporting grace. We need it, don't we? Hide not thy face then. We need more of his strengthening grace. You remember the Apostle Paul? He asked the Lord 3 times for the thorn in the flesh to be removed. What was the answer back every time? My grace is sufficient for thee. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather rejoice, glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. My grace is sufficient. It is, dear child of God. We want more of it then. And we want to be so aware of his supporting grace and his strengthening grace. And so we pray, hide not thy face far from me. Oh, to know the smile. Oh, to be so aware of God's strengthening grace. Yes, he will help you, because his grace ever flows towards you. But oh, to be aware of it. Hide not thy face far from me. How the apostle, as he had that thorn in the flesh, valued God's favour, just like the psalmist did here. So then, God's favour was highly or greatly desired. Well, let's consider secondly tonight, God's help seriously considered. God's help seriously considered. Now just consider here this prayer. It all flows together. And as the psalmist is praying, he wants to know more grace. He wants to be more aware of the presence of God. He looks back for a moment. And he seriously considers the help he has known. And he pleads this before the Lord. Thou hast been mine help. Surely, Lord, thou wilt continue with me. Thou wilt keep thy word. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Thou hast been. He looks back. And it gives him a reason to pray and a reason to hope that God is going to continue with him. Will you look back tonight? You consider what the Lord has done, dear child of God. You look back over your lives. He came near to you and he helped you in salvation. He saved you. He took you from the miry clay. Look how the Lord has helped you as a believer. It gives you reason to pray at the end of the year, doesn't it? And it gives you reason to hope that God will continue with you. He's the psalmist. He's praying for more grace. He wants to know more of the presence of God. Do not forsake me, Lord. And he considers how God has helped him. And so he exercises faith as he prays this prayer. Listen to Spurgeon commenting on these words. A prayer for the future and an inference or conclusion based on evidence from the past. If the Lord had meant to leave us, why did he begin with us? Sometimes doubts may arise in your heart. Is the Lord going to help me? Is the Lord going to continue with me? Look back. You consider God has helped you. He's the God of salvation who will help his people all the way to glory. That gives us reason to exercise faith that the Lord would continue. Here's David then. He considers God's help in a serious way. Thou hast been mine help. Do not leave me now. We're just at the end of this year. You just consider God's help. The help of God is already mentioned in salvation. Love those words in Psalm 89, verse 19. I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have laid help on one that is mighty. Children, who's the mighty one? The mighty God. In Isaiah 9, verse 6, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the help we needed was laid on him. Listen to Spurgeon commenting on Psalm 89, verse 19. In a far fuller sense, the Lord Jesus Christ is essentially and immeasurably mighty. And on him the salvation of his people rests by divine appointment, while his success is secured by divine strength, being engaged to be with him. Let us lay our faith where God has laid our help. Oh, how the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to help you. And as you consider that tonight, how he came on a mission of mercy to help you, dear child of God, you can exercise hope for the future that God is not going to forsake you, that God is not going to leave you. Jesus came to help you so you have reason for hope in the future. That's another reason why Jesus came, isn't it? So you can face the future. So you can rest that God will not leave you. But then secondly, consider how he's helped you in affliction. Psalm 116, verse 6, the Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. I was brought low, and he helped me. You know, it's not easy when we're brought low, is it? We find ourselves sinking. But you know, following on, the believer can recognize the help of God. You know, when things are difficult, sometimes the believer stops and considers how great is the Lord and how much he helps me. I was brought low and he helped me. I was brought low in affliction, but God helped me. You consider the times when the Lord helped you in affliction. We read there in Isaiah 43, through the waters, through the rivers, through the fires, we were kept and preserved. There were the fires of affliction, but we weren't burned. You remember that African lady who was with us just over a year ago at Edna's funeral? She didn't look any different. You don't look any different, Sharon said to her. And the African lady said this, I've been through the fire, Sharon, but I wasn't burnt. You may have been through the fires, but the Lord helped you, and you're not burnt, are you? Your clothing, as it were, may be singed, but you're here tonight. He's helped you in affliction. You were brought low. You were at your wit's end, Psalm 107, yet he came to your aid. You consider the way in which he has helped you. You can plead with God then. And you can trust God that he will go with you into this new year. Just see how the psalmist is reasoning before the Lord. Thou hast been my help, leave me not. You think of the future, you think of next year. Lord, I so need thee. Think of the way God has helped you. And tell God that. As you think of the future, tell God, thou hast been my help. You can face the future. You can raise an Ebenezer at the end of this year. 1 Samuel 7, verse 12. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto have the Lord helped us. Hitherto. Hitherto. They look back, but they also look to the future. God would go with them. And God will plead scripture to the Lord. In prayer, the Lord knows his word. But do you see it here? Plead scripture, the promises of help. Isaiah 41 verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Plead those promises to God, who has given them to you, as you think of the future. Lord, thou hast promised to help me. Leave me not then. Go with me into this new year. Lord, thou hast promised to uphold me. That means thou art not going to forsake me. Go with me into the new year. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. If you feel that perhaps God is just withdrawn a little and you're not sensing the presence of the Lord, plead his word in his ear. Remind him of his promises. This is what the psalmist is doing. Thou hast been my help. What a blessing to know we have been helped by God in a special way. Well, remind him. He knows, but remind him. And as you look to the future, as you pray that he will go with you, tell him, you've helped me so far. You're going to help me. So go with me. You know what a joy it can be. At the end of the year, just to sit down, you try and do this on Tuesday evening. There may be laughter. There may be happiness, but you just try and find a corner just to sit down before the Lord and just say, Lord, thou hast helped me. And I can face tomorrow. I can face the future because thou hast helped me. I want thee to be with me in a special way. And I believe thou art going to be with me because thou hast helped me so far. You sit down. You consider how God has helped you. Perhaps there's someone here tonight. You know you can't do this because you're not a Christian. Oh, that you will yet be able to do it Tuesday evening. Because you, between now and Tuesday evening, have gone to Jesus, the great helper of the soul, the physician of the soul. Sit down, dear child of God, at the end of this year, and you seriously consider the help of God. And then, like the psalmist here, you pray and you tell God what he's done for you. You tell God how he has helped you. And you believe that God will help you in the new year. Well, thirdly, as we close tonight, we'll be very brief. God's presence, highly valued. God's presence, highly valued. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. It all flows together in this little prayer, doesn't it? Just notice it. Do not hide thy face. Do not put me away. Do not leave me, neither forsake me. Now the Lord never really forsakes his people. He's promised to be with us, and he keeps his promise. However, there are times when it seems he's withdrawn what we call his sensible presence. We'll note that in a moment in Song of Solomon, chapter 5. In Psalm 71, verse 10, the psalmist said, for mine enemies speak against me, and they that wait for my soul take counsel together. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. The people there in Psalm 71, verse 10, they say, God hath forsaken him. Where's God? And the believer may think, well, where is my God? I just don't seem to sense his nearness. We've been there, haven't we? Jeremiah 14, verse 8 and 9, O hope of Israel, the saviour thereof in time of trouble, why shouldest thou be as a stranger in the land? And as a wayfaring man that turneth aside to tarry for a night. Lord, you seem like a stranger, Jeremiah is saying. Jeremiah knew that the Lord would never really forsake him, but the Lord seems like a stranger. Sometimes it's true, isn't it? Where's the Lord? I've got this book in my study, and the chapter, the title is this, oh, where is Emmanuel? And sometimes the people of God may say it. Lord, we know that thou art there, but where art thou? Why are you like a stranger? Jeremiah 14, verse 9, O Lord, Yet thou, Lord, art in the midst of us, and we are called by thy name. Leave us not, Lord. Well, the psalmist says here, leave me not, neither forsake me. The psalmist here, he so values the presence of God. He so values it. He knows the Lord is with him, but he so values to so know it in his soul. Please, Lord, stay so very near to me. I know that thou art with me because the promise is there, but Lord, stay so very near to me. Sometimes it seems the Lord has withdrawn what we call, as already mentioned, his sensible presence. And we see this in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5. My beloved had withdrawn himself. Of course, not really or totally, but a little distance. You see the believer there. They didn't really have time for Jesus. The believer didn't really set aside the time they could have done to pray. Yes, our lives are busy and there's many things that come in. But I'm honest, there's been times when I should have turned the television off. I should have given a bit more time to pray. And when I prayed, it was hard work, a little withdrawing. My beloved had withdrawn himself. For the believer that strays into some sin, we see in the light of Song of Solomon a little withdrawing. Of course, not really or totally, but a little withdrawing just to teach. And when the believer humbles himself and seeks the Lord's face, how precious again is his presence. There can be this withdrawing of his sensible presence. Now let me say, when you don't feel the Lord, don't always conclude it's because of something you've done. No, we mustn't conclude that. But we have to be honest in the light of Song of Solomon. There are times when the Lord just withdraws a little because we've been going on in some sin. But then he restores our souls. We see in Psalm 23, there's the rod, he restores our soul. It's a lovely description in Psalm 23, isn't it? There's the sheep. But then comes the shepherd's rod to draw the sheep back. There's been a little distance, but he draws back. There's the restoring. He restoreth my soul, and I'm aware of Christ and his presence. He never really left me, but now I'm aware of Jesus in my soul. He never really forsakes his people, though at times it seems he's withdrawn a little. And here's the psalmist praying, leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. He doesn't want even a little withdrawing as he faces the future. He so values the presence of the Lord. And do not we. The Lord will never forsake us. But we say this little prayer, leave me not, neither forsake me. In other words, when I face affliction, be so very close to me. Help me, O Lord. Do not we at the end of this year value the presence of God? And it's a blessing when we're aware of it, isn't it not? Sometimes one may not be aware. Maybe in the gatherings of the saints, one believer, they're aware of Jesus, but the believer in the pew behind or in the pew in front or in the pew in the same pew may not be aware, but he is there. Sometimes we're not aware, but other times we sense the presence of the Lord. There is what the old preacher said, the felt Christ. The felt Christ. Song of Solomon, I held him and would not let him go. You think of a little child walking alongside their father. The child is holding the hand of the father. The child's looking down. The child's taken up with something, concentrating on something, some sorrow maybe, and they're not aware that their father's walking alongside. But then the father stops, picks up the child, and embraces the child, and the child embraces the father, and the child's aware. Oh, for the felt Christ, when we hold Christ, we value those times, don't we, when we're so taken with Jesus. Yes, he's with us, but there are times we so sense him. We value the presence of Jesus. Can I exhort you this Tuesday evening, not only to say to God how much thou hast helped me, but just to sit down, maybe just for a few moments, and look to Jesus by way of faith. In order that you would know to felt Christ, you would know what it is to hold Christ so very near. We so desire to know the nearness of the Lord as we enter this year. Yes, he will be with us, but oh, to so know his presence. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. We make this prayer. We think back in the way in which God has helped us, and we believe the promise. Hebrews 13, verse 5, he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He will not really leave you, but still pray. As you look to this new year, what do we need? The presence of the Lord each and every day. And oh, in the new year, to know more of the nearness of the Lord. Leave me not, neither forsake me. We face a new year. We do not know what this year will bring. Remember this morning, Abraham, he stepped out in faith. He went out not knowing the way he was to go. And that's how we are to live, isn't it? We don't know. We know we are going to heaven, but we do not know the journeys we must make. We're to step out in faith. We're to look to the Lord. We do not know what this year will bring, but let's trust God who does. This we know, that my heavenly Father will go before me and hold my hand. My beloved shepherd will lead me in the valleys, and my precious comforter, the Holy Spirit, will touch my heart and lead me through the word. Leave me not then, Lord. I can face 2020. I can face eternity this night. And so can you, if you have Jesus at your side. The Lord will never forsake you. But all as we see here, we have this longing to be more aware of him in view of the future. Well, make this your prayer at the end of the year. Hide not thy face far from me. Lord, I value thy grace. More grace, Lord. And then seriously consider God's help. Thou hast been my help. And greatly desire the presence of God. Oh, to know more of the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. And my prayer is for you tonight, dear congregation here, and friends who are gathered, you would know more of Jesus walking with you in this new year. And you have reason to hope that he will walk with you, because you can look back tonight. He's helped you so far, and he's not going to forsake you. You'll be helped in the new year. And if the Lord spares us to the end of next year, we're going ahead a bit tonight, aren't we? You'll be able to look back again. And then you'll be able to look to the future. Lord, go with me again. What a blessing to face 2020. Knowing that the Lord will go with us. Blessed be his name. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, we thank thee so much for thy grace. And Lord, at the end of this year, we would simply pray.